Peace, people. I'm Justice Mukeri.
I'm Patwani Mukeri.
And we're sipping the best tea in the city.
On the streets, on the air.
I mean, this conversation already started off air. I wish you were part of it. Why are art galleries quiet?
You know what? Let me tell you. For me, I don't get it. I remember being a young kid from Ekasi, trying to go see art. Not far down the road here. And I walked in. The walls were white. It felt cold.
Yeah.
And you are met with this person that says, "Sorry, sir, can I help you?" And I'm a Soweto dude who speaks like Julius Malema.
Yeah.
How am I going to respond and meet that person at their level? So it was cold. Then the next thing, it's quiet. And
yes,
I don't understand the quietness of art spaces, because music is art and music carries feeling the same way as visual arts.
That's right.
So imagine accompanying art with music.
A soundtrack.
Yeah. But for me, sometimes I think it allows a person to think and feel the work, I think. But also, I love music. I wake up with music. I work with music.
Chances are you also paint with music.
Yes, 100%.
I do. My biggest source of inspiration as an artist, a visual artist, is music.
I think both of us. Yeah. You know, most of our ideas come from what we are listening to. Sometimes it's lyrically, sometimes it's just feeling. Beats or feeling. And I go, I know this feeling. How can I interpret it into a visual thing? Choosing colors based on melody. I think we're both quite melancholic spirits.
You love
that sad, happy song.
So
we try and bring that to our work as well, but also celebrate our culture.
Yeah. And again, why don't we have an art gallery? Go saw it. Tembisa.
You know what? At the home. You know, it's a good question, because I don't think we don't have. I think those spaces do exist or have existed. The question is the audience we are trying to speak to ready to engage that art space? And I'll speak, this is my opinion. As a country and as black people, we've gone through so much, like the uprising and our country coming into freedom. And there's so much to untangle for a black person to get to a space where now we can entertain buying art as something that we keep in our houses.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Regardless of geography, regardless of the purse you have or your bank balance, everything is accessible to you based on the person making it accessible to you.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. So, for starters, I don't know if I need your pair of sneakers until I see them.
True.
So let's also put that in there, right?
Yeah.
So what I find is that sometimes we why? Because we're like, are they ready?
Yeah. I like
if they were not ready, theses as a store.
True.
Yeah, Come on, guys.
Those are brothers.
And when you listen to Wandi, let's speak about how difficult it was to bring that culture where you can walk from your house, got a pyjama, which I forbid. You walk across to buy a t-shirt, a jean, and you're wearing a person you know.
Yes, yes.
Right? Where you don't have to necessarily get out of that space unless you've got the money to, right? To be where the so-called affluent people are.
Yeah.
To spend the money.
For sure.
And for me, that's accessibility has always been an issue.
Yeah. It's also, I think, priorities obviously differ. You know, people in townships' priorities are different to what people around the northern suburbs' priority is. There's places like Funda Center. It's an art center that is amazing.
Yes.
We both wanted
next to
go
to Barra
there.
Then.
Yes.
Yeah.
There were and they are, I'm not sure if it's operating now, but there were exhibitions. There's a friend of ours, Kholi Hlahla, who used to do these exhibitions there. It's also just, as you said, access. Is it being marketed enough? What are we doing as a people to cultivate that kind of culture back to the township, to make it desirable for young guys to go, you know what, let me on a Saturday go on a date with my lady at Funda Center, look at art and all of that. We are also to be blamed, to be honest, where we are not doing enough to educate that side of thinking. We are obviously prioritizing what our bank accounts need to look like, income, life. Whatever, life is demanding. Yeah. But as you said now, and you put it on the table, something we, I think, need to think about.
We also have a friend and a mentor, Dumsan Phakathi. Malo 8 has got a gallery.
Come closer to the mic.
Yes. Dumsan Phakathi has a gallery in... it's not Deep Kloof, it's Orlando, where that Mandela strip...
Vilakazi.
In Vilakazi Street. And he's doing quite an interesting thing there. We're going to show with him. Patwani is only knowing about it now. Yeah. So I spoke to Dumsani.
Okay.
We're going to do a show with him there. And yeah, it's a good question. But I think still, apart from us second guessing the audience and our people, are they ready or are they not? There are a lot of contributing factors that determine the appetite. You know, I'll speak for myself. Growing up in Pimville, Esoweto, my upbringing was both beautiful and also had survival.
Yeah.
You know, so when we were on survival mode amongst the beauty, there was no time. I can't imagine in that time my parents thinking about acquiring a piece of art. You know?
Unless they were that way inclined anyway.
Yes. Unless they were that way. We have a best friend who's the same age. You know, he also was in Deep Kloof. He grew up there. But his family was artistic. His parents were traveling to New York, to Istanbul, everywhere. In the early 90s.
Yeah.
You know? In my world and my household, there was not even a dream of that. There was not even a dream of Cape Town. Actually, I didn't even know there was a Cape Town.
Yeah.
You know, so then you think of art in a space where, you know, our dad left and you just have a mom that has no job. Now she's scrambling to transport kids. Where is art going to fit in that?
In all of that, while you're still thinking about surviving the day.
Yeah. Even though we have grown and worked and luck and all the things and we are now maybe middle class, that's not the reality for most people.
True.
Our friends that we went to school with, 90% of them are still there. And surely the reality is still that way. So them thinking about art as something that they can acquire, I'm not sure.
That's luxury versus...
Luxury.
Yes.
Survival.
Yeah.
But again, to your point, it doesn't mean because the circumstance is what it is, we must say people don't need art. You know, because for me, art was a form of an escape for my brother and I. And our form of escape became our career. You know, and it was something that was a seed that got planted by our father drawing once, listening to jazz, and he was drawing. Then there we are.
And it landed well for us because we are dyslexic. You know, we can't read and write well. Now we can because there's tools to help you.
Okay.
But dyslexia, both of us. Dyslexia made us struggle
That's
a lot.
Interesting.
At school, teachers who would think we are dumb. Also not understanding what kind of brain we have, which is a neurodivergent brain.
Yeah.
But then art for us, even today, is the easiest form of expression for us. You know, when we are so blessed that every day is play. You know, going to work is play. We are blessed that we share a studio. We collaborate. Where we get to the studio and go, hey, I was working on this, Mbana, and this. And then I look at it, I'm like, you know what? Don't stress. It's done. Oh, add this. Do this. Do that.
Yeah.
And making a living off that is the biggest blessing in our lives. Yeah. And making our form of frustration, because we can't read and write, to express with painting and drawing and film and photos, to make it an income or a career.
Yeah.
Biggest blessing in the world, yeah.
Yeah, I think also that pivot or that path was carved by finding a solution where you can't, you know, there's a limitation. We couldn't learn like other kids, so we were highly limited. And the schools, as you know, in the townships, don't understand neurodivergence or dyslexia, especially in that time.
Yes.
What they understand is that my twins are dumb.
Yeah.
You know, but lucky we had parents or a mom who was super encouraging, and she was like, no, you're not dumb. they just don't understand you.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, because in our house, we were doing, if you, dyslexia is amazing. We've got dyslexia and ADHD. So it's a superpower. ADHD is a superpower because your brain is able to do many things at the highest level.
That's right.
So my mom saw that these guys are programming computers. These guys are making beats and music. And we never went to school for that. We're making flyers.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are starting a business where we are making signage art for houses. Mm. And we're just 15 or 13.
Wow.
You know, so when we were met by a teacher that said, "Aye, those twins are dumb," my mom said, "No, you're not."
Yeah.
Because she could see amongst all the kids, we have many outlets, creative outlets. Mm. So, anyway.
And I think... I'm glad. Thank you for sharing that, because it's such an education to the current crop of parents.
Yeah.
Where when we leave home, go to work to find resources so that we can educate our kids, right? Mm. You then leave these kids in the custodianship of others.
Yes.
Mm. Them being teachers with the hope that they know better, especially when it comes to that part of life, right? And then we then fail at the same time to say, wait a minute, did I take my fish to a swimming school? Or did I take my fish to the zoo?
Yo, hectic.
That's a power.
Right?
Yeah.
So is my fish going to be asked to climb a tree?
Ish. Yes.
We were asked to climb a tree.
Yeah, no, it was tough. But I think for us, that was also a good exercise to grow thick skin. You know, today, there's no one who can tell me I'm not good enough. Because I know that, yes, it's your opinion and you're entitled to it. But I know I just need to say I'm good enough. If I don't understand the thing, I learn it. You know, we're both learning how to cook, you know. And 2 years ago, we knew nothing about cooking well. But because now we are family men, we wanna eat good. We wanna spend time at home.
Yeah.
Go, okay, let's get into this, you know. And because we are willing to learn and we have that resilience and thick skin, we figure out things.
Yeah, also that resilience growing up in a space that didn't understand you, for us, prepared us for a hard environment, which is the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you are met with a no. Mm.
Yes.
That is accompanied with four letter words that start with F.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Oh, and, get out.
You know,
yeah.
Who are you, you know?
Yeah.
So it's that no to us, it's guess. It's a battery on my back.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's a no to you.
For anyone who's on a journey, no is not yet.
Yes.
Simple.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you take it as a full stop, I can tell you now, it means you're not hungry, fired up, passionate enough about where you're going.
Yeah.
But if you are, it's a not yet.
No, you know, the power of no allows you time to introspect. Because sometimes in our pursuit for success, as we are working hard, we are entitled to the success, not understanding sometimes that my hard work is towards the wrong direction.
Preach. You know?
Because hard work is hard work, but if it's going to the wrong direction, it's not gonna be met with a yes.
Mm.
Not because it's personal, it's because you are not ready or you are knocking at the wrong door. You know, so when you are met with a no, sometimes take time and step back. Lucky, you know, life taught us that. I go to my brother when I'm met with a tough no, which I get more no's than yeses.
Mm.
You know, and we sit down and I say, "Patwani mona, ish." At the even the miniature wrong, you know, then you'll be able to say, "Dude, you need to look at it this way. Maybe this is what you need to do."
Come on, ADHD.
Yeah,
you know, then. Oh, sometimes I do that on my own, and I introspect, and I think. You know, I'm a film director, and sometimes we pitch on projects that I give my life to, and it's a no.
It's a no,
and it's so painful. Yeah. Where I go back and I think and I think, then, you know, when I'm thinking, first of all, the thing that I remind myself is that it's not personal. Who they choose is based on what's best for them.
For sure.
The yes is best for you, but it's not best for them.
And some no's are good.
All no's are good.
Yeah, because we, when I started going professional with art was 5 years ago. Justice was purely focused on the film stuff. And I started making this art. There was hype and all of that. And I said, hey, Rendan, Justice is his other name.
Yes.
Rendan, come through, Joe. There's an income here. And I know you can create like I do. It comes natural to us. And then lots of hype. And then it starts. And we go to galleries. Hey, this guys, can you maybe represent us? No. I go there. Hey, can I? No, no. And for a long time, I was like, galleries want me. Why? Why am I not good enough? People are buying my work. And then I came across a book that says the gallery is a taste of the owner. So I can't now go to a gallery and think I'm their taste. They are also entitled to curate what they like.
Yes.
And you know, me being bought by everyone around me doesn't mean I'm the taste of the gallery's owner. And they are curators there who go, I like that guy and that guy, this is what I want to do.
Can I add to your point?
Yeah.
I think also the thing, there's an amazing thing that happened for us when we were met with those no's with galleries. I always remind myself or remind each other that you may look at someone, I'll make an example with the Incredible Black Coffee. You may look at Incredible Black Coffee and wish to have a path like that if you're a DJ. It's okay. But sometimes wishing for someone's path doesn't mean that that's your path. So if you are met with a no in pursuit of someone's path, you must remember that your path could take you to something bigger. Black Coffee might have had someone that he looked up to and wished to be. And that person's cap was here. But Black Coffee allowed his wings to fly and he became the biggest DJ in the world.
Yeah.
Should he had just limited his dream to who he looked at here, who would Black Coffee be?
That's right.
So the blessing of a no sometimes means that your path might open up something
bigger.
Yeah. For example, with us, we are completely independent. We've got a big, incredible studio that's also a gallery. We are not short of sales. We are not short of sales in other income revenue streams. And the pain of a no from a gallery was a blessing that you are fine. You get to have this big space. It's a studio. It's a you can do whatever you want.
Yep.
We are not starving artists, fortunately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a no can take you to a bigger path.
By the way, it's Fatuane and Justice Mukeli. Ninja Buffet.
It's great. Oh, hey,
car 959 on the street and on the air. And I've got the Mukelis here. That is Fatuane and Fortune, a.k.a. Rendani. Why he went with Fortune? Well,
Justice.
Justice, sorry. I have a sense to do with a girl, but yeah.
Actually, it had to do with a business dispute.
Is it?
Yeah, my twin brother and I used to be in business for long. Our business was called I See a Different You. And we were in business with our best friends. And we didn't see eye to eye and I decided to leave the business. And in the business and out in the world, I was Rendani. Then I felt I need to reinvent myself and start as a new person. Then I changed to Justice, which is also my name.
Yeah.
I don't know if Patwani knows when if that change happened then.
Yes, I had a sense of it. I mean, we are very close. So I knew what was going on with his mind and his thinking, which I think that decision really helped him pivot as a photographer and a film director to also just help him stand on his own, which was very tough times that we don't need to talk about.
Also, you know, we built
and
this.
I guess Justice, don't lose your trail of thought I guess as twins when you see the other one going a different path, you're like, huh.
I know. We went through a 5 years of a painful
2016
painful relationship
2016 to 2022.
One. After lockdown.
Reconciling.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Lockdown was like. But
so you guys had a divorce of sorts?
Yeah. No, we had an opportunity to grow as individuals.
Yes.
It might have been through business.
Listen but to Justice.
He's right.
We are twins. We're joined at the hip. For the longest time, Patwane and I share a phone and a bank account.
Yeah.
You know, and we did everything together.
Sure. Yeah.
So that moment that was incredibly painful for both him and I and our families was a moment for us to grow.
My stomach is turning because I can feel the tension.
You know, the other thing with twins, you become one thing, or rather us, we were one thing for too long, and you need to get to a place where you become individuals, you know, and it's a tough thing to then
become
your own person outside of him. And now, I mean, that opportunity made us even much stronger. You know, because we have that chemistry, that love. Our partners know, you know, that yes, it's these guys, it's them and then us. Not, but in a good way. My lady knows when Justice is like not in a good space, she can see me not in a good space. She's bro, you're losing weight.
Even though you're on the other side of town. Yeah.
I was having incredible work stress December and beginning of the year. And I lost a lot of weight, and so did he.
The good part about it, I was getting a bit of a belly, so losing that weight and chubby cheeks.
It's the yin and the yang.
But twins or being a twin is the biggest blessing in the world. And in that thought, I'd like to just say RIP to our cousin who is also a twin that passed yesterday.
No.
It's a painful part for us, but I just wanted to put it out there in the world.
And
that,
it's mental health.
To RIP him and all of that. But on a positive note, we...
You know, and now that you say that, there's another... Can I connect a dot?
Yes.
For sure.
I don't know if you know about the Whispers, the group, the Whispers. Mm-hmm. And the beat goes on.
Yes.
They're twins there. Walter Scott just passed this weekend.
No way.
At 82 at least. But you can imagine now Scotty Scott.
Yes,
it's like, wait a minute, where's my
friend?
Where's my guy? Where's my yang?
You know,
to my yin, so to speak. So
no, it's tough, that thing that
biggest fear?
Biggest fear, yes.
Yeah, biggest fear. I think it is a big fear, but our business dispute, when I said it was an opportunity to grow, it helped for me to manage those things. You know, because in that moment, before that, if something had gone wrong with him, I don't know if I'd be able to continue. And that's not okay, because he would love for me to continue. And if something goes wrong, I'd love for him to continue, because we have each other's legacy, you know. We just became... I'm a dad now. I've got a daughter, and she's our daughter.
Congratulations.
But if something goes wrong... I know how close my brother is with my wife, and my daughter is his daughter. So he should be able to continue. But before the opportunity to grow, I know I wouldn't have been able to continue.
Yeah. Ah, I see.
You know?
I see.
So growth is key, man, as twins.
Yeah.
You said you're a film director, Justice.
Yeah.
Something we can watch? What have you worked on?
So I'm a film director in the commercial space.
Oh, commercial.
Yeah, commercial.
Okay.
So I make commercials. I try to bring depth and relatability in the work that I do. And
something we know?
Yeah, lots. I mean, I've done... I can speak to... We've got a very beautiful campaign for Ingrams. I've done Toyota. Campaigns currently now for Toyota. Did an incredible campaign for TikTok, which was a blessing because it was a story of a dad and his daughter reconnecting. So the daughter was now like a teenager, and she's into music. And you know how teenagers
are.
I dread that time with my daughter.
It's coming.
So she was into music and growing into being this young woman, and she's not interested in her dad. And we tell a story of this father finding a way to reconnect with her. And he notices that she loves music, and the music she loves has violin. And he goes on a mission to learn how to play a violin and play her favorite song. Then she comes back home to find him playing her favorite song, and that moment reconnects, you know, daddy and his daughter. That's a campaign that's quite dear to my heart.
Fatuani, is one of the things that really, when we Google and we try and find you, your trip to Italy is one of those shining examples. But I mean, for you, what would you say? This is now my, this moment right here, I knew. There's no way I'm going back.
You know, I love that. I love that question because it gives me an opportunity to tell a story about creating your own luck.
Yeah.
I started my art career and because I'm an ad man, I worked in advertising for long. I thought, what's my strategy? What's going to make me different?
Yeah.
How can I set a tone so that I have value?
Yeah.
I looked at the biggest art fair in the world and all of that, and I saw the Venice Biennale.
Okay.
And then I went online. How can I be part of it? Because obviously I was trying to get into galleries here and I was getting a no. I sent an email to this other gallery and they're like, sure, cool. If you want to participate, yeah, cool. We can give you a booth. You need to pay 200,000.
Rent.
Yeah. I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to do this. And I had no money. I just bought an apartment. I was struggling to pay the deposit. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to bet on myself. I worked. I don't know how I even got that amount. I paid. I sent the work there and flew in, you know, went in. And they were going to just exhibit the work. But I said, I want to get there. I want to be there so that it feels real. And anyone who's following my art journey can go, oh, wow, this guy is at the Biennale.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I was in the sideline booth, not even inside the Biennale. The Biennale is happening. I'm here on the side. Get there. Before I got there, the ladies sent me an email going, hey, Patwani, we received the work, about 6 artworks. Unfortunately, we have a collector who's wants to buy all of the work. So is it possible to sell it? And then, oh, is it possible for you to send more work? I was like, how is that unfortunate? Yes. Give this person the work.
Yeah.
And then I sent through new work. So by the time I landed, in the most humble way, I was balling. I had money in my account.
Yeah.
And then
so the 200 came back.
Lots of money came
back. Thank
you.
That's right.
And because
when you bet on yourself.
Yeah. And obviously I hiked up the price a bit because I'm in Europe. The guy's like, oh, no worries, I'm just going to take everything. They take everything. And when I land, everything that was there was already taken as well. You know, I was like, wow, okay, my work is there, but I know I've made sales.
Yeah.
I'm going, okay, cool, I'm changing my flight now. I'm going to go to Amsterdam and there because, you know, I'm bowling. But that story there for me and the highlight was betting on myself.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't wait. The gallery said, sure, we can give you a space, but you have to pay. You know, you have to pay us for the booth. You have to pay to get here if you want to.
Yeah.
All of that. So
also,
I just,
to add to that point, betting on yourself is important because it creates perception.
It creates
perception. For example, being an artist that we are, we have a strategy that creates a perception that this is, sometimes we look bigger than what we are. Because of perception, and that's marketing. You put yourself in the place
in
you
a
want
space.
To be.
Yes,
that's
yes.
right.
You know, and that's betting on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, for us having our studio and gallery space, that's like 1,000 square meters or whatever. It's a building with 3 floors. It creates a perception. You know, so someone that wants to come buy my work for R1,000 is not gonna try. Cause why? They can see that there. There's no work for
R1,000. Yeah.
So,
how you present?
I'm glad you said it.
Yeah.
Betting on yourself, and let's use a case because you brought up his name. When Black Coffee bet on himself to do the Guinness Book of Records, at Maponyamo, because he was creating a perception that I am big.
Yes,
we'll be right back.
Peace, people. I'm Justice Mukeri.
I'm Patwani Mukeri,
and we're sipping the best tea in the city.
On the streets, on the air.
Hi, Brati. Hi. Today, 10 nil. Your topic. And those guys. I'm a school teacher, but I'm taught today something about our own kids. Wow. I'm so proud of you guys. Big ups. Can we please have their contact number where we can contact them so that we do something with these guys? Thank you so much.
Sure, Brati. From Pinville, Palama, Le Pass, 16 Pass, which we used to share, Varaofela. We used to collect music from them. They used to sell us music. Deep House, I told them, they sold candy, they went to another Tolago Mouti.
Morning, Uncle T and the Gents. Uncle T, you have the most coolest guys in studio today. Not only cool, but the most humble guys. You know those guys who would DM them and ask questions, and they would reply you now. They are not celebrities, those guys, Uncle T. Those guys, we need to cherish them while they are still alive and give them their flowers. Yeah, thank you so much for having them. I remember when I was studying photography at the Market Photo Workshop, we would reference their work from a group called I See It Differently. So I know those guys very well. Thank you so much for inviting them, Uncle T.
Only a pleasure, right? You're getting your flowers. Can you smell
them?
Thank
you. Yeah.
They smell so good in winter.
Thank you. Yes.
Why is art expensive?
Because
you, of all people, should be making art accessible.
Yeah. So the art market and its function was not designed to entirely serve our people, if I have to be honest, because the consumer that keeps us afloat is someone with a lot of money that is either sometimes trying to avoid tax or getting a tax break and all of that. So that's why sometimes our art becomes inaccessible to our people. And as artists and what we do in the work that we do, we try find a bridge or a gap that is in between, where we create art and work that can keep our lights afloat, which is art that's being sold to the audience that has real money. Then, and we also create art and opportunities for our community that need art.
Yeah,
you know. So we do these open studios every other month, where in our open studios, if you come to our open studios, you might have 1,000 people, and 1,000+ people is mostly young. Black, some are not employed, some are students, some are just entry level workers, and the work we sell there is accessible.
Yeah.
You know, and we sell prints, we create
options.
And also, what makes it expensive at some points is art is giving birth, you know. When we are creating, I'm not a big believer of I need to get into a deeper place to make the work. But I'm constantly creating the work. So when I get in the studio, I've spent maybe 48 hours thinking about the thing I'm going to create.
Sure.
And that's value as well.
Yeah.
And we started painting or doing art at the age of 7. That is also value, you know. And then
all of that experience.
The experience, you know. And the provenance around the work. So provenance like the sketches, the doodling, the thinking, the referencing, creates that value, that journey, you know, the nights we spend thinking, how can we enter F&B art fair, Investec art fair, investing in going into an art fair, the story I told about Venice.
Yeah.
You need to recoup all those funds, you know, and that's why sometimes it has to be expensive.
But.
Yeah.
But. I'm on Instagram. I'm either following Justice or I'm following Fatuani.
Yes.
And I see something nice.
Yes.
Idea.
Yes.
And I ask you, like, no, that's 200K.
Yes.
Oh, Baba. Yeah, but him out here.
Yeah.
You know what we do.
And then what do you do to not lose this client? Because clearly something caught them, right?
Yes.
And how do you then strike a balance without from losing me as a potential client to maintaining the value?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not a how much is it and 200K cold. You know, we encourage interested people to come to the studio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come to the studio. Like, also, again, there's...
We're going to the studio, guys, by the way.
Yes, please.
So if we are... Let's say you DM me based on a 2 meter by 2 meter piece of work that's oil, that's blah, blah, blah. It took us 30 days to make. That's expensive. That's 400K or whatever. And that's what you want. And you are seeing it on Instagram as this small.
So come through and exceed it in real life.
I'll say, hey, thank you so much for having interest in the work.
Yeah.
This work, the size is this. This is the price. But we have options. So if you've got time, let's find time for you to come to the studio and...
Let's have a chat. No
have
pressure.
A chat. Have a look at what's available. Mm. And it's not about you buying. Sometimes you don't have to afford the work now. Mm. Sometimes you'll afford the work in time. Sometimes someone that you say 200K to actually has 75K. Mm. And the conversation is, cool, we can make it work. Maybe if you can, if you feel you are able to pay off the 200K in a year.
Mm.
That's good.
Or in 6 months.
Yeah.
Mm. Then there's dialogue, you know. But if we are sitting down and you are seeing the space and you are seeing the work, you are seeing the provenance, you'll be honest with yourself that, damn.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing, the biggest selling point of our work is not the work itself. It's us. You know, I've seen that with people who buy art. Some will buy it online and it will get to them. But the biggest selling point, people buy into the artist. You know, when you look or when you meet me in person, you'll then go, okay, I budgeted 100K, but because I've met this guy, man, there's such a cool thing about him.
Mm.
I'll add in 150 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen it in many instances where even with other artists that I admire, I look at them and I say, beyond the work, I see the work. If I'm going to take out 200K to buy that piece, it's not just that piece. I'm buying a piece of that guy. Yeah. I'm buying him. And not buying the person, but you get a piece of his energy. You know.
Take me back home.
Yes.
Mm. Where's mom?
Oh, we bought a house in Rimsech. Eh?
Thank you. You've answered my question. I want to know, man, what's going on with the queen right now?
She's living. Yeah, she's boss. She lives comfortable. She's actually on holiday right now.
What?
Yeah.
With our nieces and sister.
Mm. Oh.
So my mom is best friends with our younger sister. So when we were buying a house, we bought a house in the same little neighborhood with our sister, who has two daughters.
Mm. Oh.
So that mom can transport the kids.
Yeah.
And have her best friend there. You know, she's, I think, going to 70 now.
Yeah.
She's still a young girl, man.
She is. No, if you look at it, she's very much. She should.
We don't mind, actually. When we're younger, we wouldn't allow that, but it's not a place.
What do you mean, allow?
You know,
protective of our mom.
No, growing up, we grew up in a toxic masculinity environment.
Oh,
you know. And it's not my place to determine who my mom should be with.
Yeah.
I felt entitled to that. When my dad left, I felt like there's no guy that's not going to come here. You know, and amongst my brothers, I was a bit bossy. So there was a little unspoken meeting that whoever that comes here, I'm going to deal with them. But it's not my place. Everyone deserves love.
True. And to that point,
I remember being in love for the first time. And my dad's leaving us. Or leaving my mom hit me hard.
He just up and left.
Yeah, he up and left.
Yeah. You've never reconnected?
No, we have. We asked him to come back home. When we were buying my mom a house and she moved out and settled, we went to him and we said,
moving the house.
Go back to that house.
Yeah.
It's yours.
No, we fetched him.
He
didn't want to. He said he'll come back to us. Then we said, no, you're not coming back to us.
We are taking
you. You are coming back home. Because his circumstance was not good. You know,
wow.
He took his money, he spent it with girls, and it was tough. His circumstance was tough. So even though we may not be seeing eye to eye, you only have one dad, you know?
Mm.
And it's
and easier. you just want to sleep at night knowing that he's got a roof over his head.
Yeah, we send him cash, he's well taken care of. There's a helper in that house. You know, everything is on point, you know. And the main priority for us is, yes, he's an old man that messed up, but still our dad. Let's have him close. We don't want whatever day he's passed and we don't know where to find him. He's here and he's good. And when we need to see him, we drive there. Hey, sure. Hola, hola, hola.
God bless you guys.
Yeah, we're good.
May God bless your hustle. May God bless your giving heart. And most of all, multiply your forgiving heart.
And may it
also come back to you in so many ways.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you broke the cycle.
Thank you. Yes.
Nobody told you. I'm telling you now. You broke that cycle.
Thank you.
It's not going to happen again.
Yeah. Thank you.
And you're going to be an amazing, amazing man and fathers and so on and so forth. And
thank you
for being so exemplary.
Thank you.
My parting shot is this. You are a walking case study of what love, forgiveness, resilience, believing in the inner voice is all about. You didn't allow circumstances, you didn't even allow the labels to stop you from fulfilling what God has put in you guys. I didn't know that I'm going to be exposed to that part of you after just seeing what I just saw on Instagram, after seeing what I saw my friend collecting from your work. And I was like, and here I am, I'm gaining so much more. So you're right. It's the story behind the person that makes you realize the value behind it. And as brothers, I urge you now, keep those DMs open. You still need to teach a whole lot more, including our teachers. They still need to be taught about how to handle the black child.
Thank you.
I celebrate you. Our eyes will open up to see your work so as we can celebrate you even more. Thank you for being and sharing your life story, guys. And God bless you. Keep shining, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your kind words.
So there's only one question left.
Yeah.
Fatuani.
Yes, sir.
There's already a girl, my man. This family must grow.
Yeah, it's a good question. So my partner and I are enjoying our lives, and we want to enjoy our lives as we are, and no pressure to us.
Are you not enjoying your life
already?
No, I am. But the blessing of being twins is that it gets to be a father.
Yeah. There's Sula. Yeah, yeah. And Sula, I'm not saying we won't have kids.
He
but
must
return
the favor.
No. No pressure. We good.
No, you know what's important? Intentionality is important.
Yeah.
Because fatherhood or being parents is very hard.
Yeah.
It's very beautiful. But you don't talk about how difficult it is.
If you
are intentional and you are ready, the difficulty will be beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're having a good time for now. So,
did you hear those words?
Sorry?
Did you hear the words from Big Brother?
Actually,
and
he's
I'm
younger.
The young one. No, I know. I'm not young one next. Did you hear the words from the Big Brother? And he was once labeled dyslexic.
Yeah.
Please.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
The best tea in the city, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to midday on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.